Hello, this is Pastor Nate Scharf from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. You're here with Invisible Church, our podcast of our Bible classes. We will be studying together Paul's letter to the Galatians and focusing on the theme, freedom in Christ. May God richly bless our study of his word together.
All right, let's read verse 13 of chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, reading from the 2011 NIV. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So you think to yourself, Paul just talked about running the race. Some people talk about walking the path. Well, what's on either side of the road? The ditch, right? On one side, there's a path going to the left, saying, it's by your merit or by circumcision that you're saved. Paul said, no, that's a false road that's going to lead to hell. Stay on the right path. But then also in that freedom of living in the gospel, how do we live? Well, we walk in step with the Spirit. We follow God's commands because we want to say thank you, and that's good for God's people and for society. We serve one another in love. We do all these things, and the good works just flow naturally. But then the temptation, though, is to think, well, we're saved by grace. Well, then I can do whatever I want, and we make ourselves slaves to, sinful pleasures, sinful desires, and we kind of fall off the other side of the ditch. So Paul says, in your walk as a saved person, as someone who is justified by faith and not by works, walk this path in love. You were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Freedom, who called us to freedom? Yeah, Christ did. The Holy Spirit working through the Word. Paul builds, called to forgiveness, called to acquittal, now called to freedom from the requirements of the law, to be under that burden. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, for God did not call us for uncleanness, but in sanctification, to be set apart. Christ has put that jersey on you. You've been declared not guilty. You've been given Christ's righteousness. Now Christ puts that jersey on you. You are on his team, and he shows you how to play the game. He shows you how to live. He continually helps you in this endeavor until he calls you home to heaven. What is the sinful flesh's first instinct when it hears of freedom? Yeah, self-gratification, giving into desires. What is the better use of freedom, Paul says? To indulge the flesh? No. To walk by the Spirit. Paul uses imperatives here. Do rather than you should. Why is that good to say simply do this? Rather than saying, well, you should do this. What do you often think in your mind maybe as a pastor says, we should do this? In the back of your mind, you're silently going, but we don't. Or you could do this, but we won't. So Paul speaks to the new person, speaks to the old person that we have to keep in check, and says, do this. This is the Christian life. This is what God has freed you to do. All right, Galatians 5, verse 13, the Christian life is free. Paul urges the Galatians not to use their freedom from having to keep the law to be acquitted as a pretext for sin. Instead, God wants them to serve others with loving words. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 to 45, if you look up on the screen, Jesus says, but that is not the way it is to be among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So you look at our Savior. What was his goal? He was the freest of all people. Yet he used his life to serve. Agree or disagree, this flies in the face of our natural reason. Yeah. I would say agree, because if we're not earning it, then what's the point? As our sinful nature, our human reason, you got to earn it to get it, but God gives it to you. Well, then you go crazy, right? Galatians 5, verse 14. Let's read this together. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So the whole law, what's the point of the law? What one word? Love. You know that agape, self-sacrificing love? I thought the law only said, thou shalt not. Right? How is Paul showing the heart of the law here? Use the fifth commandment or another one as an explanation. So, for example, the fifth commandment says, you shall not murder. Well, what does that mean? What's God protecting there?
Life.
Yeah, life. And not just do the base, you know, don't, you know, prevent yourself from plunging a dagger into them. But instead, what's it also saying? How should we treat our fellow brothers and sisters? Help, befriend them in every bodily need. Yeah, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we treat ourselves? The best of anybody, right? And so he says, treat others that way, as the best. You know, that's love. Galatians 5, verse 15. If you bite, let's read together. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Even as people forgiven and set free, the temptation is still there. To bite and devour each other. Why is this spiritual devouring even worse than physical devouring? What's hurt?
Soul.
Yeah, the soul. You know, we've been set free, and now we're using this freedom to hurt one another, to devour one another. How do you treat someone after you've been declared the winner or in the right all along? You've been arguing with someone, it becomes clear you're the winner. You were right. Should the first words be, well, I told you so. You should have listened the first time. Do you lord it over them? Do you never let them forget it? How will a loveless spirit cause them to be devoured? You know, some of these people who were listening to the Judaizers, even got circumcised, come back to a knowledge of the truth, and they, you know, how would the rest treat them? Fighting, devouring each other? What can a loveless spirit cause among a congregation? A lot of hurt. A lot of divisions. A lot of us versus them. A lot of scoreboard. Rather than being on the same team. Working together. Alright, let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Will sinful desires always come this side of eternity? Absolutely, you know. Agree or disagree, each age carries its own temptations.
Yeah.
Some hang on throughout many generations and many stages of your life. But some really are big temptations at certain points in our lives. Who do you identify with, the old person or the new? The new, yeah. Here, some, you know, translations might say spirit with a big S or spirit with a small S. Paul's making the difference between the new person and the old person. So I think a lot of the translations we've seen use the small S. But it doesn't really matter. Where does the small S come from? Your new person. Who puts that new person in you? Who works through your baptism, through the word, to strengthen that? The Holy Spirit, so the big S. So it really doesn't matter. We're kind of talking about the same thing, or they're intricately connected. The new person does not need the law as a guide. The old person needs that to convict us of sin, bring us to repentance. You know, Luther said each and every day is a day of repentance. But the new person is already motivated by the gospel. Martin Luther quotes a story he had heard about a monk who was advising a young man who was just so distraught because he, you know, he wanted to live a holy life, but these temptations kept coming and he couldn't stop them. And he was getting so worried that, you know, I'm going to be lost because I can't stop these temptations from coming. I'm, you know, not holy enough. And the monk, the old monk said to him, you know, it's like the birds of the air. You can't stop them from flying overhead. But when they try and make a mess in your hair, you know, then you can bat them away. You know, so you can't stop the temptations from coming, but you don't want to give them a foothold. When is it okay to say to a Christian, commit? Commit. You know, do this. Stand up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, serve the Lord. You think of all those commands. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage. Look, when you're speaking to a Christian who understands what? Who understands correctly their forgiveness and salvation only come from God. And they realize that each day there's a battle because they are at the same time saint and sinner. You know, the saint in them doesn't need any direction, doesn't need any encouragement. They're already right there. But constantly we have this battle raging within us, you know, to do what's right or to do what's wrong. And so we encourage the new person in the battle, and to silence the old person, you know, we have these, God gives us these good directions. And he says, do this. You know, love one another. Galatians 5, verse 17, let's read this together. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. So explain to the unbeliever, every single day I am a battlefield. Because an unbeliever might not get that. They might not understand. Because they don't feel the weight of their sin, or they don't recognize it. Well, how would you explain, every day I am a battlefield? What battle is going on in your heart? Yeah. You know, the person we identify with, the new person, is constantly against this, the devil, the world, our own sinful nature. You know, this is a battle that's raging. And it sometimes scares the Christian or makes us wonder, are we even Christian that we would still have these struggles? But no, the fact that there is a struggle is a wonderful indicator that you are a Christian and that this new person in you is struggling and striving by the Spirit's power. With this constant conflict, is it hard to get started doing the right thing? Yeah, it is. Two truths from Professor Kuski. I just noted in my notes. I need to realize that I am a daily war zone in which my old person and new person oppose each other. That should not surprise us. Number two, I need to commit myself to follow the new person. Otherwise, the old person will have his way with me. There's a battle. If we ignore that battle, it's easy to fall into temptation. You know, constantly we need to be, what does Jesus say after he prays to his Father in heaven? You know, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He says, watch and pray to his disciples that you will not fall into temptation. Yeah, there's this battle going on constantly.
Have I found that by bringing it up to someone, there's a really good way to Christian person, like, cheating on somebody.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's the point of that? But to, like, just bring up, like, I'm a sinner too, really opens the door for good conversations.
Trying to help them see a church not as, what is it, not as a museum of saints, you know, who have made themselves perfect, but rather a hospital for sinners. You know, a triage center. You know, the battlefield is real. It's an easy slam that people say from ignorance. And I'm sure there are those Christians who present themselves as, now we've made it, now we live our lives perfectly,
because they don't understand grace themselves, but then to say, no, I'm a sinner. Every day is a struggle. Yeah. Verse 16 and verse 18, we'll just close with verse 18 here. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, Paul says in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. In verse 18, led by the Spirit. You know, you see the difference there. I want to do this because I know this is God's command versus I have to do this because God's church says I have to. No, we have the right motivation, the gospel motivation. We are saved. This is our thanksgiving. To be led by the Spirit is not a matter of compulsion, but glad and free serving by love. When you receive a gift, you're overwhelmed and compelled to say thank you. Nice quote by Joseph Christie. And we'll end with that tonight, and we'll thank God for his blessing us with grace and forgiveness. All right. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, by which you show us how deeply you love us and care for us, that you would send him to die on the cross to pay for our sins, that you take his perfect life and credit it to us, so that you could honestly and justly say, forgiven, set free, child of God. We thank you for this blessing. We ask your help in our battle each and every day. Help us to keep the truths we've learned tonight in perspective, that we are saved by grace, and that saving faith, which you have given to us, is never alone, that you produce wonderful fruit in us and good works. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.